Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Nice weather. We had a nice year. And now we're fixing to start a new one. Wow. A new year. How many of you ever have dreams? How many of you obey your dreams when you have one? I hope so. Bill called me this, or I've called Bill this week to talk to him, and he told me he had a dream. Bill, would you come up here? And I'd like for you to share this testimony, if you would. I think it's great. This is to show you the importance of what God is doing when he speaks to his people, and he calls on those he knows he can depend on. And I want Bill to share with us what he had two experiences, and I want him to share both of them. The one was the Gideon thing. That's the second one. And the other one was this one about.
God is good. You know, I think a lot of us sometimes examine ourselves, you know, when we've gone through the scriptures and we see the importance of forgiving people for something they might have done, whether it be a child in childhood or as we grow up, different things occur and so forth that might anger you and might really hurt you. And a psychiatrist one time said, hurt is unrestrained anger. People become angry, but the problem is they're not willing to move forward past that. And that's very serious with the Lord. Thank God for his forgiveness, because all of us now can have the hope that we can be in heaven with him someday. But the other day, two things had occurred. I'll tell the first part first, and second part second. Being in the Gideons for about 16 years, I've had the experience and shared a lot of times my testimony about being able to find people that didn't know the Lord. And we Gideons, as you might know, hand out little small New Testaments to the middle schools and to the high schools. We used to do it in grade schools, but they don't do that now. But in doing that, that was one of my greater times that I could have being with the Gideons, because what is better than to hand out God's word? And so we have different camps all over the state and all over the United States, and we're in about 188 countries. And the Gideons in this country are blessed to have enough money that they can have quite a few New Testaments, and we try to hand out these New Testaments every year at different times at the different middle schools. The other day, and living in Bedford now, I still belong to the Irving camp, and so I stayed in that camp, even though we had moved. But I have one of the men call me when they're going to do a distribution, and this particular sunny day was good because I said, "Lord, it's a beautiful day outside," and I said, "But you know what's more important is that when we hand out these testaments, that these children read them." And I just pray, Lord, that you'll some way let me know, Lord, that we're really touching the lives of these children today. And so I was praying along, and then we got to school. And we usually will get a box, maybe 50 or 100 of them at a time, and the Gideon men will be dispersed all around the school area, in the school grounds, on the sidewalks. So about 3:20, here came the kids. And so I had, this didn't just happen once, but I had quite a few children come right by my station where I was, and they were walking home. And some of the children are Spanish, some are Caucasian like myself, and some are Muslims. They're children that we have a lot of Muslims living in the communities now, and so they all have different beliefs sometimes. And we were passing them out, and these children came by, and these young boys, I would hand them a testament. I'd say, "Son, would you like a New Testament? It's all about Jesus." So, "Thank you." And the second one came by, and he said, "God bless you." I said, "I received that. Thank you, son." Well, another one came by, and I handed him this New Testament. I said, "We'd like to give you a free testament." He said, "God bless you, sir." I said, "Oh, I received that. Thank you, thank you." I want everyone in here to know, I don't remember the exact count, but I'm going to say it was around 12 different young people that received these little Bibles. And each time I'd say, thank you, I receive it, be sure and read it. And they were very polite. But I was impressed the fact it was that Travis Middle School is a public school, and that we've got parents in those public schools that are still teaching their children. I know they're homeschooling a lot these days. But anyway, that's the good thing I wanted to share, that God answered my prayer, and I almost floated home when I left that place. And yet there's one little child that kind of reminds me of this family here and how young they are. But one little boy walked up to me and he kind of stood around and he said, I'd given him a testament. He was reading through it, and I told him some passages he needed to look at. Be sure and sign his name in the back of the book that he'd accepted Jesus, but know what he's doing. So we had a chance to talk, and about that time, a little Muslim boy came by, and I offered him a Bible, and he said, no, I can't take it. I'm a Muslim. I don't want to read it. I said, okay. I said, as he walked off, I told this young boy, I said, that's a shame. He said, yeah, he's going to hell. I mean, we're talking about a young child now telling me he's going to hell. That's pretty impressive, you know, when you think about it, because if they don't know the Lord Jesus, we know what happens. Now I'm going to tell you the next thing that happened. I got excited over this, too. I had a young men are supposed to have dreams. Young men have visions. Maybe I've climbed up high enough in that class I can have a dream. But I've never had a dream like this. I had a dream the other night, that about 4 weeks ago now, and in the dream, in the middle of the night, about 3:30 in the morning, I heard this voice told me, said, and I don't remember where I was, but he said, call Jack Robinson and talk to him about Jesus. And I said, what? He said, call Jack Robinson and talk to him about Jesus. And I didn't say any more, and that was it. I got up out of bed, and I told my wife, Betty, I said, Betty, I've got to call Jack. I said, I got a word from the Lord this morning in my dream. I know it was him. I know his voice because I've heard him. He's spoken to me before. Not in a dream, though. It was audibly out of while I was in my natural mind, not in my sleeping position. So I called Jack. Jack and I have known each other since we were in college. He's a geologist, as I was, and so I've known him many, many years, going back to 1955 is when we graduated. Well, I said, Jack, you and I met each other a lot of times. We visited a lot of times, and he lives in Lafayette, so he doesn't get up here too often. And I said, something happened this morning. I said, you've got to believe me now. I said, I've talked to you about Jesus before, and you've never really been very receptive to my opening up to you about it and my testimony about it. But I said, I want you to know something, and I wouldn't lie to you. And this is important. I said, I had a dream this morning, and God spoke to me, and he told me to call and talk to you about Jesus. And his comment back to me was, well, I take what you say very seriously. And he said, but Bill, I was baptized when I was a baby. He said, and then I accepted Jesus when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I didn't want to say, yeah, but you don't go to church. And I know you're doing a lot of drinking, which he'd always wanted to have a drink when we were around each other. And I'd have a drink, but it'd be a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi or something, and he'd have his alcohol, you know. But I said, all right, now, I'll tell you what, then. I do think there's a problem. I said, I've known you long enough, and I've heard you say this many times. They're part of your wife's relatives did not honor her with a proper amount of royalty that she's supposed to have under the property that the family owned, and they passed on. And I said, not only did it make you mad and furious, but I've heard you say to me, I'm going to kill them. And I said, Jack, you've said that more than once, and you spoke from your heart. You were mad, and you never did forgive them. And I said, you don't realize the importance of forgiving. I said, our Lord's Prayer clearly states, when we're talking to our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I said, Jack, you're not forgiving. How do you expect God to forgive you if something had happened to you? he was pretty silent. And I said, but anyway, I feel like I've done what the Lord asked me to do. I called to talk to you about Jesus, but I think the important part of it is you need to be very forgiving for what you have accused these people of doing, and it's been settled in court now, and you've got to walk away from it. So anyway, it was settled in court. His wife did not get her fair share, but that's beside the point. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, which is about 10 days ago or so, well, maybe 2 weeks now, time gets away, I got a call from his wife. And she said, Bill, this is Ann Robinson, Jack's wife. And I said, yeah, Ann, how are you? She said, well, not doing too good. She said, Jack died with a massive heart attack. And I said, oh, he did? She said, yeah, it was last Friday. And she said, I said, well, what happened? She said, he was sitting in a chair, and she said he was having a pain in his arm. And then she said, he said, it's getting down in my back. And he started sweating, and he said, I want to get my blood pressure machine. So she said, go get it. So he doesn't get around too good. He's on a walker. So she walked back to the bedroom, and he followed her. And just as they got to the bedroom door, he fell flat on his face. He never took another breath. And that, to me, was God telling me earlier to talk to this man. And I'm just sorry about one little thing I didn't do, folks. I really wish, and I think God knows, Father, you know I'm saying this, I really wish I had gone ahead and said, Jack, let me pray with you right now to get this taken care of. And and to be honest, it threw me off a little bit when he said he knew Jesus or that he'd accepted him. But that didn't take away from the fact that I was to call and talk to him about it. I knew the problem immediately when I started thinking about what the seriousness of his position was. So don't ever let it slip by you if you're reminded maybe to talk to somebody about a sin. Stop long enough to pray for him, because I want to leave that part with you for sure. So that's the testimony I want to give, and I've been using it since then, because I've picked out three or four people that I've talked to about this dream. Two of them are in the family, and believe you me, they paid a lot of attention to what I said, because it's real serious. We want everything forgiven. And when Ian McCormick stood up in this room and he talked about the fact that he faced Jesus, and Jesus said, well, but you have forgiven those taxi cab drivers that kept you from getting to the hospital. He said, you can come into heaven. So he had the option to come in or stay back. And I think some of you know the story. But anyway, I wanted to tell you what happened. Absolutely. And I thank you for letting me talk today.
Thank you, Bill. Praise the Lord. I'm good. Praise the Lord. Does it pay good dividends to obey God? See, the master had a plan. He wanted Jack to forgive some people. And he knew his son, Bill, had the answer. And so that's why he spoke to Bill. What if God had told me, Thurman, call Jack Robinson? I don't know who Jack Robinson is. I have no knowledge of, you see how God doesn't speak to us unless he's prepared us. Bill knew everything he needed to know. And so he spoke to him and told him what to do. I'm going to be, just like Bill, when he told me this the other day, I've thought about this a whole lot, but I still believe with all my heart that the Lord had everything exactly in the right plan, knowing that it's in a few days, Jack was fixing to come home, and he wanted him to come home, but he knew he couldn't come home in the state he was in. He had to forgive. And I believe with all my heart that since Bill did call him, and did talk to him about the unforgiveness and the bitterness, I believe that the man repented. I'm going to believe that. I believe that God is so awesome and so wonderful in bringing his children home, even in our stupidity. You know, I mean, there's only one thing God has trouble with on the earth, and it's people. He can handle, but he can handle that pretty well too, can't he? But we are our own worst enemy, I will have to say. And we need to learn how to walk in love and do everything God says. Now then, today we had a new year and a new beginning, an end of a year and a new beginning of a new year. And who knows what this year's going to hold. But I will have to say that it may be very exciting. I think God will do a lot of good things this year, but I think there's going to be some devastating things going to happen too this year, because Cheryl was reading to me early in the wee hours this morning about so many problems that's going on in Germany and Sweden and over there and Europe, all over Europe, you know, the problems that are happening with the Muslims. You know, the Muslims, one of the articles they said they're going to make, as soon as they, I think they said it was 52 million Muslims in Europe. And said as soon as they take over, they're going to make it a legal thing that Muslim men can rape white women with no recourse. So would you want to be a white woman in Europe? I don't think so. But they're bringing Muslims in here by the thousands into this country, and by the tens of thousands. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know what the scripture says. The Lord says, because we, and there was, I want to go back to that scripture and one more time and go over it one more time in Deuteronomy 28:47. And I want you to see what the Lord says he's going to do to those people that are not putting him first and loving him and serving him. Now, you don't want to be a part of this group of people. Because, I mean, some people, you know, don't go to church, they won't read their Bible, they don't do anything, and they just don't understand. But I want us to look at this Deuteronomy 28:47 and on, where he says there, because you serveth not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now then, when I read that little line right there, I stop and think, what has God given you in your life? Can you even stop and think? Is there? Would you have to think very long to think how much good stuff he's given you in life? No. He's what?
No, he's given us breath. Yes. The very air we breathe.
Yeah, the air. That's right. We'd be in big shape. We'd be in big trouble if we didn't have this air, wouldn't we? Yeah, I can only imagine, you know, if somebody were to put their hand over your mouth and your nose and clamp it off where you couldn't draw this air in. How long can you last? Not very long. That's right. Not very long. So, I mean, the air. But just think of everything the Lord has given you. I mean, you know, some of us, we fail to thank him for giving us our mate. You know, I mean, really. You know, I mean, I know this people, Cheryl tells me all the time, nearly every time a lady comes up here and she says, are you married? And if they say no, but Cheryl said, would you like to be married? And they say, yes. And Cheryl said, well, why don't we pray for you a godly mate? Oh, that would be wonderful. I'd love for you to pray for me a godly mate. Now, how many of you in here that have a godly mate are glad you have a godly mate? Absolutely. That's one of the wonderful things. And some of us never tell God, thank you for our mate. You know, I was listening to Cheryl pray the other day. And I said, wow, do you pray like that every day? She said, absolutely, because she was saying, Lord, thank you for my wonderful husband. You know, she said, I thank the Lord for you every day. And I thought, wow, praise God, I must have a higher standard than I thought. You know? She was telling me how she loved me. You know, so, but she was telling God how much she loved me, because she knew that the Lord's the one brought me to her. And so, not that we haven't had a little skirmish or two in through all this at one time or another, but she's a woman and I'm a man, so what can you expect? You know, you're going to have those. That's why the Lord told you to forgive each other up to 490 times a day if necessary, right? Yep. But if we fail to thank him and praise him for... Somebody just tell me just one or two things you can think of that you have that you'd like to worship the Lord for today. What?
Our awesome family.
Okay, our awesome family. Yes, and what else?
My job, my house, my car.
Okay, there's a couple of good things. Anybody else?
Everything. I just thank the Lord for everything, for
So we could just go on and on and on. There's nothing. But to think about it is what I'm trying to say. We know he's done these things, but do we worship him and praise him for it? See, that's the thing. Some of us know this, but we don't ever say, thank you, Lord. In fact, I was so tickled last night. One of the ladies that's been coming out here, her little son was running around in the place, and all the time he was saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, where did he learn that? She says, from you. She said, every time we're out here, he hears you say, praise the Lord. And said, when we're up here at the front and you walk through, said, all the time you say, praise the Lord. So said, he's picked it up. A little four-year-old boy, who would ever dream, you know, that a four-year-old boy would pick up everything you say? But they do, don't they? Yes, and so I praise the Lord that I so praise the Lord that the little children are hearing me speak things of God and not some kind of a profane word or something. Amen. Like so many people do, and that's so terrible. But because we don't do this, look at what this said again one more time. Because you serveth not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now, because we don't do that. Now, if you're not doing that, you should take it to heart that he wants you to do that. So let's see what happens in verse 48, what happens to us. Therefore shall you serve your enemy. Do you like that? Therefore shall you serve your enemy, which the Lord shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Is that kind of scary? Now, do we have to go there? No, we don't have to go there. All we got to do is praise him and worship him and thank him. You know, as we walk around praising the Lord, thanking him and worshiping him for the abundance of all things, do you think that makes the Lord happy? I think it does, since he's provided everything for all of us. All of us here are his children, and he's provided all these good things for us. He wants to bless us, but he's trying to tell us what he's going to do to those people that do not do that. Now then, how many people do you know that are blessed, you know, that they're living in a nice house? Some of them are really nice houses. Nice house, they're driving a nice car or two or three or four. You know, they got boats, they got everything. And you say something, have you praised the Lord for that lately? Oh, the Lord didn't have nothing to do with that. I worked and made that myself. Now, do you hear people talk like that? Oh, I don't have to worship God for this. You know, I went to school, I got a degree and whatever, and I'm a really good, hardworking guy, and I made all that. You know, God didn't have nothing to do with it. In fact, you know, let me just make a little fun of God, you know. I mean, you hear people do that. You know, they tell dirty jokes about the Lord, all kinds of stuff. And that's been going on now in America for a long, long time. I wonder how long God's going to put up with this. You're just like me. You don't think he's going to put up with it very much longer, huh? I don't think he's going to put up with it much longer either. And that's why when I see what's happening, when he said he will bring our enemy against us, and he says on down in there that he will bring an enemy from a foreign country, far away, that cannot speak our language, that we do not understand what they're saying, that have no compassion for the young or the old. And who is that? Muslims. That's Muslims. They have no compassion for the young or the old. I mean, to think, anytime a man will rape a little 4 or 5 year old girl or another woman or a grown woman or anything else, and then he'll cut your throat or beat you mercilessly. Even when men beat their own wives like this, let me tell you, these people are not somebody you want to trust. So I'm going to tell you, it's okay to talk to Muslims and give them a Bible. It's okay to talk to them about Jesus, but don't go to their house. Be careful. I'm warning you There is no telling what they may do. You can't trust them. And of course, then one of the big things that's supposed to happen this year, Obama, by executive order, plans to start taking up our guns. That's going to be one of the first things in 2016. Okay, if the day they give that executive order. And he's already said he's going to do it. If he does, let me tell you what, this is one Christian that I am not turning in my guns. I don't care what anybody says, I am not turning in my gun. I may die with a sucker in my hand, just like I nearly did in Vietnam, but I am not turning in my gun. If you want to turn in your gun and then let them have guns and they kill you and rape you, hey, that's up to you. But as far as me and my house, I ain't turning in my guns. Let it be known, I'm not turning in my gun. Not any of my guns. So I've never seen anything happen like this. I believe God's going to protect us. I believe he's going to take care of us. But you sure better walk holy before him in this time. You better really walk holy before him. When you do, if you walk holy, walk in obedience to his word, I don't think we have anything to worry about. I think he will protect us. I really believe he will protect us so we won't have to worry about this. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure how the enemy will come. But whenever they're bringing all these people and all these camps and all these people to America, and when I read scripture like this one right here, it scares me to think that he could be talking about right now what's going on in the world. You know, when you look around and think about that just a few months ago, maybe a few years ago, we had, well, let's put it, how many years back? Let's go back 50 years. When I graduated from high school, 57. I heard Bill say he graduated, I think, 55 or somewhere like that. Maybe that was college. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I graduated from high school in 1957. And when I graduated from high school, there was no such thing as Muslims. There was no such thing. I never heard of one. And then over the next few years, as I started traveling around a little and doing things and going to convenience stores and all that kind of stuff, once in a while I would see an Indian family that had a hotel, or a little hotel, or most of them weren't hotels, they were convenience stores, little bitty convenience stores. And then I began to understand some of these people called themselves Muslims. I didn't know what a Muslim was. But this has been going on now for 50 years. So why do you think God is bringing these people that he's talking about here in the scripture? Why do you think he's bringing these people over here? What do you think he's going to do with this class of people? He's going to do something devastating to this country. Because why is he going to do it to this country? Because this country has not put God first. This country has forgot who God is. This country won't let you talk about Jesus in the schools. I mean, they don't want you to talk about Jesus anywhere. You know, Cheryl and I went to a movie the other night in the movie theater, and it was a Christian movie we were going there to see. I asked the girl that taking our ticket, I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "I can't talk about that." I said, "Well, you're in sad shape." I said, "I'm a Christian. I guarantee I can talk about it." I said, "You better be talking about it, because why is God going to do what he's doing? Because of this." Because he said it right there in his word, "Because you will not worship me. Well, you will not serve me with joyfulness of heart. For the abundance of all these good things." Who has he given all these good things to? Everybody, all of us, both the saved and the lost. And of course, don't let it happen to us that we are not serving him, loving him, worshiping him. When we go out today, we should say, "Lord, I thank you and praise you that I can walk. I thank you and praise you. I got a car sitting out there in the parking lot I can go home in. Lord, I thank you that I got money in my purse. I can stop on the way home if I need to, and I can get a sandwich or whatever. If I get hungry, I got something to eat. I want to thank you because I know you give it to me. Everything I have, you give it to me. So I want to praise you. I want to thank you." And you need to be saying those kind of things so that when people follow along behind you, their little children are saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." That really blessed my heart last night. You know? She said, every time we do, he said, listen to what he's saying. And I listened. He said, praise the Lord. I said, wow. I said, where'd you learn that? And she said, from you. Well, that's all of our children should be learning these kind of things from us, right? Praise the Lord. Not anything, not, we should have no bitterness toward no one, no unforgiveness. Because let me tell you what, if you're at home and you're talking to your spouse about someone and your children are there, they're listening to what you're saying. That really come home to me one time. I came home and Betty was in the kitchen fixing supper or something. And I started talking to her about some guy that had done something. And all of a sudden, I says, Amanda, come running out of her bedroom, way back in the back of the house. She said, Daddy, I just heard you say a bad word. I said, what? She said, yes. I said, well, tell me what I said. No. She said, if I were to say that bad word, you'd spank me. I said, well, okay. I said, okay, so I don't know what I said. I'm sorry I said it. But I said, I don't think I said a bad word. I said, she said, Daddy, you were talking to Mama about that man. I said, yes, I was talking to Mama about that man. He did something I didn't like. She said, yes. And I said, tell me what I said so I won't do it anymore. She said, you promise you won't spank me? I said, of course. What did I say? She said, you said, I wonder what in the heck that man is thinking about. She said, Daddy, heck is a bad word. I said, okay, honey, I can guarantee you I won't never say that again. Just think, now, are they listening? They're listening to every word you say. And you may not think that word is a bad word. In fact, I really hadn't really thought about it as being a bad word, but she thought it was a bad word. Yeah. So from that day forward, I never used that word around my daughter again. I tried to take it out of my vocabulary completely. Should we as Christians take every word that's even controversial out of our...
Yes.
Yes. Everything that comes out of our mouth should worship and praise the Lord. Something that we would not be afraid to share if he was standing right here in this room with us right now. Because he is here. He's always here, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. So praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go over and let's look at 1 John 1. Let's read a little bit from 1 John 1. Are we going to serve our enemy?
No.
No, we're not going to serve our enemy. Why are we not going to serve our enemy? We're going to worship the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, right? Absolutely. Okay, 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. You know, when people say that Caesar, they believe that Caesar existed. I think that the writings about Caesar was like 400 or 500 years after he passed away before they started writing about Caesar. And why is it that people will say, well, I believe that's true? They never saw the guy. Nobody is alive that ever saw Caesar. You've never seen him. So what makes you think he really did exist? Well, somebody wrote about it in a book. Well, they had to get that information 400 or 500 years after it happened. And then we don't have a problem believing it. But here we got the Word of God. We got men that were there, that seen him, that ate with him, that slept with him, that talked with him, that saw his miracles. Wow. That which we have seen from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, how much more personal can you get than that? You really can't. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show you unto you that eternal life which was from the Father and was manifested unto us. Now then, if we have seen the Lord, and technically speaking, how many in here, like Bill said a while ago, how many of you have literally heard the Lord speak to you? Well, that's a whole bunch of us. There's a whole bunch of us he has spoken to. Just like when he spoke to Bill, just like he spoke to me. He's spoken to many of us, some of us a few times, some of us many times. But, you know, I'll tell you what really changed the way I did business. The first time I heard God's voice was in 1977. And I'm telling you, when he spoke to me that day, and of course what it was all about was over the scripture. You know, I was reading Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, and as I came to it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And right there, I heard this voice say, "Son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses." Well, I mean, I heard that word, and I turned around to see who walked in the room, because I thought somebody had just walked in the room and spoken to me. But somebody did just speak to me, but they didn't have to walk into the room because they were already there. And that's, but when I heard that, and then I went back and meditated on that a few seconds, I thought, "Lord, that was you. You spoke to me." And so it was so real. And of course, what it was I am supposed to teach my children about God. It's so important. He said, "Put a sign on your forehead, put it on your gatepost, put it on the back of your hand." Everything to remind you to teach your children about the Lord. Now, is that still good information for today? Yes, every one of us should teach our spouses and our own self the Word of God on a regular basis. We need to read and study. You know, it's amazing how that when you kind of get away from some things, or you have so many miracles, you forget about them. In fact, Dave was talking to me last night as we were talking. He asked me a question, and I told him, I said, "Well, it would be nice and if that happened." And then he said, "You know, you won't ever receive it just saying it would be nice." And I thought, "What do you mean?" He said, "I remember a man," it was me, of course, "I remember a man one day that was working on his car, and he was all leaned over doing some stuff, and whenever he stood up, he got a catch in his back." And he said he stood there for a minute in excruciating pain, and then he thought about the Word of God, and he said, "Satan, you're not going to do this to me anymore. I'm going to stand up straight, and I'm going to walk off with no pain in my back." And he said, "As I pushed myself up, the pain was excruciating. And I went to take a step, and it was more excruciating. And after I took the first step, I took the second step, and the pain was about half gone. By the time I got the third step gone, the pain was completely gone, and it's never come back ever again in my life." And Dave said, "That man, I know him personally, and he has such a special anointing for backs. He's prayed for people over the cell phone and seen God give somebody a brand new back because he could pray in faith." Now, why does God do those kind of things to us? He does that to build our faith. You know, after I saw him heal my back, I'd had numerous back troubles in my life, numerous back troubles. But after that, in fact, he could even let me pray the prayer of faith from the pulpit with a young lady that's not even standing up there. And she gets her back healed. And she's sitting right here on the front row today. You know, this girl came because she heard we had a healing ministry and she had a terrible back problem, but she would not come up. She was afraid. She didn't know what was going to happen. And so because that special anointing God had put on me, even her sitting back wherever she was, the anointing of God came upon her. And when she started to leave that day, she had no back troubles. And that's been, what, 10 years ago? At least 10 years ago. And you don't have any back troubles no more. Why does God do these kind of things to different people? He builds your faith. Because when you get a faith level, have you noticed that there's lots of different people that are in church that have never seen a miracle, just like I was, for many years had never seen a miracle or healing. Have no idea how to make it work. They could read about it in the Bible, but they couldn't make it work. Until finally one day, God revealed himself to them in a special way. And when he revealed himself to them in a special way, they stepped out on something. Like, for instance, when he spoke to me that night over my children, I began to read. I don't just do this one night and quit. I know that God spoke to me and told me this is the most important thing I can do is read the scripture and teach my children about God every day. So I did that for the next 18 years. 18 or 20 years. I mean, all the time my kids were at home, I read those kids the Word of God every night. Every night. You know, now, guess what? Somebody's going to learn something. And I remember one night I was coming home from Dallas, and I had KCBI turned on, and there was a doctor of theology that was talking about some scripture. And he asked a question. He says, if David knew he was such a good shot with that slingshot, why did he pick up 5 smooth stones? Why didn't he just get 1? I thought, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And he said, well, because David knew that Goliath had 4 brothers. So if he said, well, see, and I thought, wow, what a revelation. I did not have any idea that was in the Bible. But he said, yes, he only needed 1 for Goliath. But when he killed Goliath, if the brothers came, he wanted to be ready with 1 stone for each one of them. So he's going to get, I thought, oh, I'm going to ask him that question tonight. We get home and we can start reading that night. I said, oh, son, I got a question. I said, if David was such a good shot with that slingshot, why did he pick up 5 smooth stones? He said, well, Dad, I can't believe you don't know that. He said, you've read it to us several times. He said, he had 4 brothers. Don't you remember? I said, no, I don't. Isn't that something? That your children, while you were reading the Word of God to them, they learned and they locked in on them. And here I am, the one reading it, coming out of my mouth, and I'm not hearing it. It's not locking in. Does that happen to all of us?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. I guarantee it does. So that's why you need to meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. Verse 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, declared we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, are we glad that these men were walked with God? And they wrote it down, what they saw? Because they wrote down what they saw at the time when they were alive, and then they put it in a book for you and me to read. Verse 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. He is light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. Now then, so you say you're a Christian, and you're living with someone out of wedlock. What does this scripture say about you? It says you're a liar. If you're really a child of God, if you're really a child of God, and you know who Jesus really is, you can't live in darkness. Is that what it says? So you need to share with people, if people are living in any kind of sin, known sin, unforgiveness, bitterness, or whatever, any kind of known sin, if the people that you're dealing with, that God's dealing with you to deal with, if they're living in darkness, they need to learn how to walk in love. Because from this right here, that in him is no darkness at all, none. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Now, is that true? Yes. Is that exactly what that says? Is that true?
Yes.
So let's see what verse 7 says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Is that a good feeling?
Yes.
To know that if you're walking in obedience to God's word, that he is cleansing you, the blood is continuously cleansing you from all unrighteousness and from all sin, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. Has all of us sinned?
Yes.
Yes. When you sin, don't try to hide it from God. You know, just tell Him what you did wrong, because He knows what you did anyway. You can't hide nothing. So just, that's just like the other day, last week, this thing that I'm fighting started coming up on me. You know, guess what the first thing I did was? Repent. Lord, I repent. I don't even know what I've done. But Lord, I do know one thing. This can't come up on me without a cause. And so, Lord, I am repenting of all my sins. And if you will tell me what I have done, I will be happy to confess that right now. And, of course, I got tickled. I went and asked my wife. She says, you always ask the wife. The wife always knows. And so I went and told her. I said, you know, it appears something's stopping my head up. So she said, okay, I'll pray for you. So she did. She prayed for me. And then after she prayed, I said, do you have any idea what my sin is? She said, yes. I said, okay, what did I do? She said, I've been married to you nearly 12 years, and I've never, ever heard you say anything bad about anybody in those 12 years. She said, but this last week, somebody said something about a woman that got read you the Riot Act on the telephone, and you just said, well, I do not want to be around that woman ever again. She said, you need to ask God to forgive you. That's telling that if she comes here, you will love her just like you would have if she hadn't have said that. Now, is that pretty good advice?
Yes.
You see how easy it is to get into sin?
Yes.
Make a simple statement. I mean, somebody calls you on the phone and reads you the Riot Act and tells you how much they hate you and that they don't like you and don't ever contact me again and everything else. Well, I mean, I'm going to be happy to oblige. You don't have to worry. But I'm not supposed to make a statement that I don't want ever to be around that person again. That's not God's way. So Cheryl said, honey, I heard you say that about this lady the other day. And I said, well, I'm so sorry, Lord. Maybe that is what I did, you know. So she said, I believe that's what you did. I said, okay. So I repented and told the Lord, I'm sorry. And I said, Lord, if that lady ever comes here again, I'll love her just like I do have before. I won't treat her any different. I will love her and do what your word tells me to do. I will be a man of integrity and I will love them and I'll talk good to them. I won't ever say anything bad about them. Now, do you think that's God's way?
Yes.
I think so too. Now then, if that was the case, then I asked Cheryl, I said, well, I repent, and now I repent for that, and I rebuke the enemy and command him to go away. And a couple of days later, it's hanging on. And I said, well, honey, I did everything the Lord says, and this thing's still hanging on. What do you think? She says, He doesn't put up with any nonsense from you. She says, he is going to give you a few extra licks because you're not doing what He said. You should have never said that. So He said, you knew better, and then you said what you did, so said you're going to get a few extra licks before you get well.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, praise God. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. At least thank you, Lord, that you're not killing me. Do you know what I mean? Now, I know from everybody in here that's in here today, I know I'm the only one that's ever made a mistake. No, I won't ask you to hold your hand up because I know what that scripture we just read say, how many of us have sinned?
Oh.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yes, we have all sinned. If you think you have not sinned, He says, you're a liar. So, wow. So, verse 11. Oh, no, that's all of it, not 10. No, I want to go to chapter 3, Dave. 1 John 1, 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has toward us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the word The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If we truly walk in the love, in other words, if I could master this thing like that Cheryl told me, when somebody calls you and you haven't done anything but try to do good for them, and then all of a sudden they're all upset with you and fussing at you and cussing at you and everything else, if you really, and I was really nice to her on the phone that day. I didn't say anything sharp. I didn't go there. But I waited after the phone call was over and made a statement or two. But I shouldn't have done that either. And so then I had to repent. Because if I walk in the God kind of love, and this is not just for me. This is for each one of us in this room. You agree with that?
Yes.
If we can walk in the God kind of love, if we can, the world's not going to recognize who we are. They don't see, people don't talk like this, you know. I mean, whenever you start trying to be nice to somebody, especially somebody's done something rotten to you, you know, I mean, most of us are expecting, like the day I remember one day I was working on a disconnect on an air conditioner, and I was on the roof, and I was really in a hurry, and I was screwing the screws in, and there was some holes in the back, and I'm screwing the screw. And as I'm tightening the screw down, the screwdriver slipped off the screw and went through a hole, and my hand went through that thing, and one of those lips on the face of it hit my thumb right here and just laid it open back an inch at least. I mean, just blood just gushed. I'm there, and I grit my teeth, and one of the guys there with me said, "Well, go ahead and say it." And I said, "Okay, praise the Lord." He said, "That's not what I expected to come out of your mouth." Okay, if we're of the Christian world, what should come out of our mouth? That's, yeah, praise the Lord. But see, he wasn't of the Christian world, so he expected me to say something nasty, you know, whatever. Because the world, that's the way they talk, isn't it? Yeah, so see, they just like the scripture says, they won't understand who we are, what we're doing, or nothing. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Think about that a second. Meditate on that. Just think, God calls you and me sons and daughters of God. Are you glad you're a son or a daughter? Boy, I am. If I'm not a child of God, whenever I leave this world, where am I going? Whew. Do you want to go to that place? I've read enough in the Bible about that thing to know I do not want to go to that place. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to do what Sharon told me the other day. Somebody had kind of got under her blanket a little bit, I think. You know, we have that happen every once in a while. She was in the kitchen making her a little snack, something to eat, and I said, "Well, I could tell she was not really walking in a real tight love, I guess you'd say." I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "Pastor, if it kills me, I'm going to walk in love with all these people." I said, "Okay." So she's going to do that. See, she knows the importance of walking in love. And in that statement, she said, it's not going to kill her, because if she walks in love with everybody, I guarantee God will not kill her, right? He will not kill her. But she is a daughter of the King. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So, as long as the attributes that you have, as long as they glorify Jesus, the world will not know who you are. They won't be able to live there. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. Wow. Just think, by being sons and daughters of God, when Jesus does come back in the clouds or in the sky, and we look up as sons and daughters of God, there will be no question who that is. It's our King. We will know him. Verse 3 and 4. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. What is the goal for you and me as a Christian? Pure. In other words, so much of the world is not pure. And they don't even want to be pure. In fact, Cheryl also was reading me some information this morning, earlier, that I thought was, I'd like someday for us to get this and read it to the whole church. It was several minutes long, but one of the things it was talking about was the things that's not been said about Donald Trump. You know, in other words, when people, when you take a man that's going forward as rapidly as he's going forward, if there's any trash in his history, the news media finds it and starts making fun of him. But that's not happened with this man. I've not seen it. And so I thought, so I hadn't even really thought about it. I thought, I wonder why the news media is not digging up all the junk, you know? They didn't have any problem finding the problem with Clinton whenever he went to Washington. You know, had no problem with finding out all the different women he slept with and the drugs deals he was involved with. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff. That was real easy to find. But with Trump, nobody said anything. And it said, well, I'm just going to tell you one of the things it said, the reason these things are missing is because he gets along with the people that works for him. He loves them. They love him. He treats them right. In fact, he said one day he was going across the freeway out there in New York somewhere in his limo, and it quit running or something on the side of the road, and this elderly couple, which he had no idea who they were or nothing, they stopped and pulled up, and they helped him and got him going. And whenever they got him going, Donald Trump said, well, I want to do something nice for you. And they said, that's okay, sir. We just stopped to help, you know, because you needed help. He said, no, I want to do something nice for you. What's your name? And the guy gave him his name, his address, and phone number, and all that stuff. And the man came to find out in a few days that his house mortgage had been paid off. When a man treats you like that, is it easy to love a man like that? Yeah, you know, pays your house mortgage off because you stopped and helped, you know, so... I just, but there was numerous things in that article about him that was good. Everything in it was good. He's good to his people. He helps his people. He does everything. So naturally, if everything is good, the news media hadn't got anything to talk about. They don't want you to know how good a man he is, do they?
No,
they won't. That's why when you, oh, you're one of them Christians. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I used to go to church, but I found that there was more hypocrites in the church than there was outside the church. At least if I'm going to be like I am, I'm not going to go to church. I can be this way out here. And that's true, isn't it? You know, there's too many people that fit the criteria that we've been talking about. Instead of walking holy and purifying themselves, they're out doing something that's rotten. You know, they're looking at pornography or... they're running around with people that they're not supposed to, or they're stealing something or cheating somebody over a car deal or whatever. Is that the attributes of a Christian? No, we should walk in love, just like the Lord says here. For every man, how many?
Every
man that has this hope in him. And what hope is he talking about? Jesus. If we live in with Jesus, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So this year, I challenge each one of us, and especially myself, in 2016, to go above and beyond to make sure you're pure and holy, that you walk pure and holy in this new year. Make sure that you have cleansed yourself. Make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word. And make sure that there is no sin in your life. So if you're a child of God and you purified yourself from evil and you're walking in love and doing what God says, I believe that's why the Lord spoke to Bill and told him to go talk to this other man. First of all, Bill knew the man, but he knew his son would know who he was. He would be able to meet the requirements. And that's a wonderful thing, Bill, a wonderful testimony to have, that the Lord would speak to you to tell you to do something. And I believe with all my heart, when you get to heaven with that guy, I believe you're going to find him, Bill. Yeah, I believe he will be there because he'll run to you and tell you when he sees you coming. He says, Bill, I'm so glad you called me that day. After I hung up the phone, I decided to forgive all those people. And because of that, I made it home. Because just like you said, because Ian McCormick didn't forgive those people, God said, you can't get to heaven. That's what he said, wasn't it, Bill? Wow. Can you imagine thinking you're walking with God here on this earth, and then one day you close your eyes in death and you come up to the gate and the Lord says, I'm sorry, just like he did with Ian McCormick. I'm sorry. You can't come in. You didn't forgive the taxi cab driver. But Lord, he said, no. I told you to forgive him. And said, you didn't. And I said, nobody is going to come in heaven unless they forgive everybody. That's scary. That's very scary. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. In other words, there's that scripture. If you do any kind, breaking any kind of a law, you transgress the law. Whosoever committeth any kind of sin, you transgress the law of God. And then, of course, when you transgress the law of God, then that's where the enemy has legal right to you. Just like me the other day when I somehow, some way, I transgressed the law of God. And if that was the thing that Cheryl brought to my attention, and that could very well be because I did do that. I did make that statement about that person, but I have repented. And I'm going to walk in obedience to his word, and I'm going to believe that next week when you see me here, I don't have any kind of a hoarse throat or nothing else. I'm going to be 100% normal. But the thing about it is I've repented, and I do know that God's word says that by his stripes I was healed. Amen. And so I'm going to believe that, stand on that, and I'm going to walk in obedience to his word. Praise the Lord. Wow. For sin is the transgression of the law. 5 and 6. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, what if I abide in him? What does it mean to abide in him? That means to dwell in the secret place, right? In other words, stay in the word, be in the word. Be talking to him. Be praising him. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither knows him. So if you're living in sin, you don't know the Lord. You need to come to know him. You need to put him first. You need to get rid of it. You know, people say that we can do all kinds of sin and still be a Christian, but that's not what the book says. The book says we're to completely do away with all sin. Is that what it says? Did I add anything to this today?
No.
Not anything. Praise the Lord. Yes, next Saturday is a healing school. So praise the Lord. I need to go to my own healing school, that's for sure. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Can we all be made sick?
Yes,
we can. Yeah. In other words, you know how hard it is to walk with no sin? It's tough. But Lord, we're going to try it. No, we're not going to try it. We're going to do it. Okay, yes, ma'am.
I know that you said that when they come to take your guns, that you're not giving them up.
I am not.
And I know that the Bible says we're to walk in love, and the Ten Commandments say thou shalt not kill. So, I mean, we have the right to defend ourselves.
That's right. We absolutely, all through the scripture, man has the right to defend himself. King David killed more people than anybody, a man after God's own heart. But he killed men that wasn't walking with God. And so, I don't believe God expects us to turn in our guns and let them run over and rape and kill us. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that at all. So, it'd be your own choice, but I can assure you, when it comes down to that day, and it looks like it's rapidly coming.
Yes.
Rapidly. But I am not going to turn in my guns. I could have died in Vietnam with a gun in my hand over there, killing people, killing men, killing women, killing everybody, and nobody would have said anything about it, right? There's only one difference. It's the place I'm going to be doing it. You know, so, but I'm not turning in my guns. No, I'm not. You know, I know what they're going to do. Look what happened to Germany. When they took up the guns, what did they do to the Jews? They killed them by the thousands, tens of thousands, millions. They're going to do the same thing to you. Why do you think that Obama right now will not do anything to protect the Christians that are still over there, but yet he's protecting all the Muslims?
Because he's one of them.
He's one of them. Of course he is. He's one of them.
Yeah, I just want to share with give a quick praise report.
Okay.
Over 2 weeks ago, Cheryl said she had a vision of, this is before Christmas, of terrorists attacking the malls. And at that same week, the Lord spoke to my heart, said, there are many targets. And I saw kind of a similar thing what she saw. So we came up and we prayed. And the first thing I said, shared with you, I said, you know, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, greater than theirs.
Yeah,
so
right.
We agreed and we prayed because even the news media was saying they're picking up chatter of the Muslims going to hit soft targets like malls and whatever, you know, games, baseball games and stuff like that, or football games. Well, we prayed. Nothing's happened. So God heard our prayer.
Well,
they
yeah.
had plans on it, but yeah. they didn't do it.
Well, that's just like last week, you know, that Louisville Lake, they were talking about it being in terrible shape and might break. And it was pouring down rain like crazy, and we prayed here for a few minutes, and what happened to the rain?
It stopped
in just a few minutes, did it not?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just pouring down, and then a few minutes later, come a little bit of hail, and so we prayed against that, and it only lasted a few seconds, and then it quit. And then, of course, thank God, the Louisville Lake did not break, you know, because the water stopped. It still, they said it was about 3 foot lower or something like that. Then if it had kept raining and went up 3 foot more, it could have broken the dam. And that's when they said, if it breaks that dam and a 50-foot wall of water goes downtown Dallas, they said 4,500 homes are going to be vulnerable and millions of people. And water was going to be 20 foot deep in downtown Dallas. Wow. Well, the thing about it is, definitely we want to pray. You know, that's Lord, don't let them ever come out here to get our guns. You know, I like my gun. You know, I've grown up with that thing. And my guns, personally here, I've never shot a human being with a gun. I've shot several dogs and animals and all kinds of stuff, you know, but I don't like to shoot anything, you know. When you're in Vietnam, you know, you had to shoot whatever was there, and it's kind of sad to have to war is terrible, is it not?
Yes.
War is terrible, and it's awful, just awful. I do not want to shoot anybody, but I'm not going to give up my gun. I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to believe they're not going to come ask for my gun. I'm going to ask the Lord to let me keep my gun just for protection for other things. But, you know, just like, I guess that was a big old coon or a badger that was down there at the farm last time, Cheryl and I went. Something tore a hole in the top of one of our RVs, 3 foot by 3 foot. Tore the whole thing up. It was soaking wet on the inside. But anyway, I'd hate to run up against the coon. I have no problem. One day we opened the hood on the truck to crank the engine, and it was a great big old coon sitting on top of the engine. And so I kind of tried to run him off. He just stayed right there. In fact, he went down behind the engine. So I went around to the toolbox and got a big old 18-inch breakover bar out and hit him right between the head, bam. When I did that, well, he run off. But that big old badgers don't run away. They're mean. And
yeah.
In fact, I don't want to be anywhere close to a badger unless I got some kind of a gun. You know, a stick, a club, if I have to. If I'm out in the wilds, and I don't know if you've ever encountered a badger or not, may not even know what one of them is, but they got claws on them. Woo!
Yeah.
They're bad, bad critters. And if they get a hold of you, they can kill you in a heartbeat. You don't ever want to let one of your dogs attack the badger, because if there's less than three or four dogs, he'll kill every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's mean. And so, wow. Yeah, there was one of those. My nephew, his wife went out to do something the other night, and she come back in and says, Ricky, I think there's a coon or something laying out there beside the house. He said, okay, I'll go look. He went out there and come back in and says, give me a gun. That's a badger. And so anyway, he shot the badger, and it still got away. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How many of you plan to die to sin this week?
Amen.
How many of you plan to purge yourself from all evil this week? Okay, because the scripture tells us to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so if we reread something and it says do it, I think we should do it, don't you? We should work on purging ourselves, purifying ourselves from all evil. We should die to sin and live unto righteousness. And then, he says, if our hearts condemn us not, right on down, just a little further down below where we were, if our hearts condemn us not, then anything we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will do it for us. Don't you like that?
Amen.
I like that, knowing he'll answer our prayer. That's the first thing I did after I repented of sins. I went and captured my wife, said, honey, pray for me. Well, she always comes to capture me. You know, if she wants prayer, she comes and looks me up. So pray one for another that you may be healed. Is that what the Lord says? Confess your faults one to another, then pray one for another that you may be healed. He means all of that, doesn't he? Yes, he does. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for this good year we've had and all the abundance of all things you've given us. And we thank you for the abundance of all the good things you're going to give us in 2016. And may we be used of you mightily to do great things for your kingdom. Lord, thank you for purifying us. Lord, just helping us. And Lord, keep us free from all evil. Keep all of us here purified so that we won't have to turn in our guns, so nobody will even come asked. And Lord, I praise you and thank you that you will protect us and watch over us. But Lord, if something crazy does happen this year, and people were killing or murdering or raping our women, children, wives, Lord, show us what to do, because I can't stand by and do nothing while the wicked world tries to terrify the church. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for showing us exactly what to do. In Jesus' name, amen.